From KJZZ's The Show, this is The Analogs, stories about people who make things by hand and what those things tell us about those people. This is Episode 2, A World of Swirls.
Put a typewriter in with my casket in the grave.
I needed an escape.
I love being able to manipulate the machine with my body instead of just pressing a button.
Every time we lose one of those parts, it's gone for good, basically.
I just think of myself as someone who makes things.
Okay, Jake, I have to be kind of quiet because Adrian is asleep, but check it out.
I took this video on my phone on July 16th of 2020 at 11:36 p.m. It was the depths of the quarantine, and my then-fiancé Adrian and I were staying in a small cottage on a friend's farm. The cottage had no doors, and I stayed up much later than Adrian, so I had made a habit of tiptoeing around at night. Usually, I just sat at a desk in the living room and wrote in my journal. But on this particular night, I had to film this video to send to my brother Jake, because I had just gotten a very exciting package in the mail. In the video, I am holding a cylindrical metal case with the letter K etched into it. I unscrew the top and reveal a fountain pen.
Whoa. Okay, I gotta figure out how to open it.
The pen is called the Decagraph, designed by a company called Kara's Customs. That's what the K stands for. Jake and I had been texting about the Decagraph for weeks. Jake is actually the whole reason that I got obsessed with fountain pens. He was into them way before me. And when I asked him what he liked about them, he said this thing that I have never forgotten. What's beautiful about fountain pens, Jake told me, is the nib, the bottom part of the pen that the ink flows through. The nibs are soft, and that means that when you start writing with a fountain pen, the nib subtly changes shape based on the way you hold it, which means that the way the ink flows is dictated by the writer's hand, which means that when you write with a fountain pen, the words come out in a way that only you can write them, which means that in the days leading up to the arrival of my Decagraph, I was so excited that I had been texting Jake screenshots of the status of the shipment. And in that video I sent him the night it finally arrived, I filmed myself using it to write the words, "Hello, Jake," in my journal.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I have a confession to make. I came up with this entire series about people who make and use analog tools as an excuse to talk to Bill Karas, the founder of Karas Customs, makers of the Decagraph. Not long after I moved to Arizona last year, I discovered that Karas Customs is located in Mesa, just 20 minutes down the road from the radio station. And going to visit Bill was one of my very first story pitches here at the show. And just so I make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, is it Karas?
Karas, yep.
Karas,
yep.
Okay, great. And so, last spring, I pulled up outside a low-slung, dark stone warehouse in Mesa and knocked on the door. Bill came out and shook hands with me. He's a soft-spoken, serious guy with glasses and a shaggy, graying beard. We sat down in his office, which is decorated with automotive posters. That's how Bill started making things. He used to tinker with old cars back when he was a teenager.
Well, I cut the top off of my dad's Carmagia and turned it into a convertible, so it was a little more
no way.
That and to that was car it? Never saw the road, so it was a learning experience.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
As he got older, Bill got better at customizing cars and eventually went into business designing and building machine parts of all kinds. And now that's what his company, Karas Customs, does. They build tools and parts for everything from bandsaws to airplanes. It turns out that the whole pen business happened by accident. One of Bill's employees noticed that pens were having a resurgence and suggested that Karas Customs should try making one. Bill was intrigued, not so much by the idea of designing a pen, but because he was looking for ways to have a little bit more control over his business.
We were always trying to work towards making our own product instead of just making parts for other customers.
Okay. Yep. Now, you can probably hear a little bit of disappointment in my voice there, right? I guess I was hoping Bill was going to say that he started making pens because he wanted to help writers write words that only they could write.
I wish I could say we did that. Yeah, honestly, no. No, definitely not. Uh-huh. I'm not a pen guy. I have to think about what we're going to do for business, how we're going to make money, you know, how we're going to, how everybody's going to get a paycheck. And the pens are a good way to do that.
Yeah. So the goal for you is not how do I make the best fountain pen necessarily. It's how do I make the thing well.
Yes.
To Bill's credit, he recognized that people were craving good quality pens, and he figured out how to make them. And these days, he told me, pens are 70% of Kara's Customs business. But I was really hoping that my visit to Kara's Customs would give me that same feeling I had the night I first unboxed my Decagraph. And when I got back to the station, I think show producer Amber Victoria Singer could see it on my face. Because a few months later, she emailed me and said, I think I found somebody else for you to talk to.
My name is Tamara Rowland. My pronouns are she, her. I am the owner of Write 365 Custom Pens.
All right. And we are in your garage/workshop?
Workshop. Yeah, this is the workshop where the magic happens. It's nothing super fancy, but
Tamara also started making pens by accident, but her story is a little different than Bill's.
I am a transgender woman, and I came out as transgender a little over 2 years ago. Over the last number of years, I've done a lot of journaling and introspection, just sitting down and writing my thoughts and reflecting on my past and thinking about my future.
It was a big deal for Tamara to start journaling. Growing up, she knew there was something different about her, and she was terrified that someone might find out.
I actually went through life, most of my life, paranoid that people could read the thoughts in my head. That led me to a life of, you know, repressing and pushing away all those thoughts and feelings, saying if I adhere to this expectation of what society thinks I should be, this perfect man and husband and father and all of that, that those thoughts will go away.
As she got older, Tamara did get married to a woman and they had two kids. And as she got further and further from the person she knew she really was, she tried to tamp down her feelings with alcohol. It got to the point where she was drinking every day.
I was desperate. I was basically, I didn't want to go on. You know, I couldn't reconcile my insides with my life. And, you know, I had thoughts that I don't want to continue with this life. But if I go away, they're going to find out.
Thankfully, Tamara got help for her drinking. She went to a rehab program, and while she was there, they suggested that instead of trying to wash her feelings away with booze, she should write them down. At first, Tamara couldn't bring herself to write the truth about everything she'd been through. But the more she kept at it, the more she came to treasure her writing sessions.
I needed an escape. It changed from being an escape to being a true, like, act of meditation.
Around this time, Tamara took a woodworking class, and she decided to try making herself a pen to journal with.
I'm like, well, I want to make a pen for me. I think there's some meaning here, like this personal connection that I found. I'm like, okay, this is mine and no one else has it, and these are my thoughts going through it.
It took a few tries, but when Tamara finally made a fountain pen that worked, she could feel the difference.
When I'm writing and I'm journaling for me, I reach for that fountain pen. People who really get into fountain pens can be very particular about the feel between the nib and the paper, because to them, that's their connection to, you know, the words that are flowing out, right? And it can be very personal.
Before long, Tamara had made a few dozen pens, and she decided to start selling them. She builds her pens in small batches, spending hours in her garage working under a pride flag and a large rack where she stores her kids' bikes for when they visit. Some of Tamara's pens are made of wood. She likes ironwood and maple in particular, but she also makes them out of colorful resins, which she mixes herself. In its raw form, the resin looks sort of like corn syrup. Tamara adds dyes and powders to it, And then, once it hardens into a form resembling the body of a pen, she turns it on the lathe. That, she says, is her favorite part.
It can come out of the mold, and it can look pretty plain. It can look, here's one that looks mostly green with a little bit of gray in it or silver. But once this is turned, it's gonna be a world of swirls inside there. And I love, like, revealing that art, you know? I love revealing what's inside that's not shown on the outside.
The Analogs is a production of The Show on KJZZ 91.5 in Phoenix, Arizona. This episode was written and edited by me, Sam Dingman, and produced with Amber Victoria Singer. The show's executive producer is Amy Silverman. Special thanks to Bill Karras and Tamara Rowland, and to you for listening. Next time, we'll travel to the top of a mountain and meet the self-proclaimed savior of fonts.
I got to referring to this building as the chapel because type founding is practically a religion for us. It's the perfect name for this place. It's mysterious, it's true, and it's memorable.
That's next time on The Analogs.